Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, all of you. Man, it's overwhelming. Appreciate you so very much. Amen. I pray I can be as much of a blessing to you. Continue. Amen, as you are to me. Amen. God has a good word for us today. Amen. And God's going to bless you real good. Look at somebody next to you and say, God's going to bless you real good. Now tell them, get ready. Amen. I pray I don't keep you long. I know it's Father's Day, and we don't want to go into next Mother's Day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our children are going to their children's church. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Zechariah, and I'll get you the word as quick as I can and ask God to help me to be a blessing with that word to you, and may God bless you with it. It's a word that really blessed me, and if it blessed me, I'm praying it'll bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I felt the goosebumps when I said that. It's not cold in here. Amen. That's because it's a witness of the Holy Spirit that I'm speaking the truth to you, that I believe it's going to bless you in a real special way. Praise God. Wonderful to have some of my daughters. We have 9 daughters together, First Lady and I. And I believe last count was, 21 grandchildren, 2 great-granddaughters. And in case you're thinking, wow, boy, they're sure. Well, there's only about 2.8 children per daughter. Amen. So that's not a lot. We could have some more. Amen. Amen. I say we. I'm not having them, obviously. They're having them. Amen. If that's over for you, say thank God. Amen. And God bless you that are having them. Amen. God bless you that are having them. For a while there, we thought God made that verse just for us. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We found out it wasn't just for us. Amen. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, 2 verses, verse 6 and 7. Just let me say that if you've ever given more than you've got back, if you've ever planted into somebody and they took what you had and walked away, if you've ever done your best and they looked at it like it was nothing at all, then you're going to be blessed by this message. The original title is Shout Grace to Your Headstone. Amen, to the headstone. Verse 6 and 7. Would you stand with me as we honor the author of this book? I know you got comfortable, and we'll let you get comfortable again in just a moment. How many know it's good to honor, whether it's the Heavenly Father or if the President came in? How many know we would all stand? Amen? Yes, we would, because of the office and the title and the honor that is due. Amen. Verse 6 and 7, Zechariah, the prophet here, one of the Old Testament prophets, is speaking about Zerubbabel. He is the governor of Judah, who has been given responsibility of rebuilding the temple. And this is what the Lord said to the prophet. And he told the prophet to tell Zerubbabel, this is what the Lord says. Verse 6, then he said, this is God's message. I'm reading Living Bible and King James. This is God's message to Zerubbabel. Not by might, let's say it together, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed. Somebody confess, you will succeed. The Lord says you will succeed because of my spirit, capital S. That's why you will succeed. I don't care what kind of failure you've had. I don't care what's going on. God is moving now. Hear me. God is moving now to restore to you everything the devil has stolen. God is moving to restore you back. Somebody say back to everything God has for you. Back to his original purpose and his original plan for you. You are the church for this nation. Hallelujah. For this city, for this people, for America. God is a restoring and a rebuilding God. Mark it down. We are not done. It's not over for America. It's not over for you. God, you are in a rebuilding mode. And if anything's being torn down, it's because what God builds will be better than what's torn down. Glory to God. If God allowed it to be tore up, God's going to build it up. Hallelujah. I couldn't even read the scripture and start preaching already. See what you do to me? I tell you. So it's not by might, says the Lord, not by power, but by my spirit. Then he says, verse 7, and then he says, though you are few and weak. Wow. Therefore, no mountain, verse 7. Or who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Has anybody had any mountains? Great mountains. He says, thou shalt become a plain, and he, Zerubbabel, shall bring forth the headstone, or the capstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Woo, somebody shout grace, double grace unto every headstone. God is going to put a capstone on your building, and you're going to shout grace to it. You're going to shout grace to those headstones. You're going to shout grace's favor, unmerited goodness, God's goodness. God is saying, I'm doing this, and I want you to do it. I want you to confess it and shout grace to it. It also means how beautiful it is. Speaking of the temple here and the rebuilding of the temple of Jerusalem, but you are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and you are being rebuilt. From the youngest to the oldest, you are in a rebuilding process. And God says to declare how beautiful it is. Look at somebody else and say how beautiful it is. There you go. There you go. Oh, there may be some things that are not too beautiful and you don't like, and they're kind of ugly in the tearing down and what's going on. But I want to tell you, God says you shout grace. Grace, part of it is how beautiful it is. It may not be beautiful what you're going through, but I want to tell you that the end of it is going to be beauty. God promised to give you beauty for ashes. Anybody ever had any ashes? Whoo, I'm talking to somebody. God's talking to somebody right now. Something is ashes. It's burned up. But God says, I'm going to give you beauty for it. And I'm going to give you joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for any heaviness, any depression. You're going to go through that. You're going to see a rebuilding. God's going to work in that situation. He's allowed it to come to where it's at. It's been a long time coming. But now is the time for your rebuilding and restoration. You and I are in restoration. Bless God. Give God a praise if you have faith to believe that. Just two more seconds and I'll let you sit down. It says, for there is no mountain, verse 7, however high, Living Bible, that can stand before Zerubbabel. No mountain can stand before you. Glory to God. For it will flatten out before him. And Zerubbabel will finish building this temple, which you started, you're going to finish. With mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace. Whoo! It's all by grace, unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. Grace is what you get what you don't deserve. Amen. Amen. And mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Did you get that? Mercy says, God's given me mercy. I don't get what I do deserve for any sins I've done. And grace says, you're going to get what you don't deserve because I love you. And it's just going to be because I love you and I want to bless you. Hallelujah. That's how much he loves you. Glory, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for blessing your people. They've been through so much. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Our nation, our families, us. I thank you now for encouraging them, blessing them, strengthening them. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit again and to deliver this message. Thank you for giving me a new heart. Thank you for the prayers of your people. Prayers of my family, the family of God. I'm here because of their intercessions and their prayers and their love in all of that. And I want to praise you. I take it as no light thing. I am appreciative for every day. It is a gift. And these are gifts to whom I speak now and have the privilege that you have given me. I bless them now in your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. That's it. Applaud him. Go on. You can applaud him. He's worthy of your applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I heard a message recently that goes along with this. Shout grace to the headstones. And it was from our bishop, T.D. Jakes. And it was earlier last week. And some of what he said, it blessed me so much, I wanted to share some of it with you because it goes with what God is saying with this shouting to the headstones. Amen? And the subtitle of some message is, well, let me illustrate it. Deaconess Linda, where's she at? There she is. Come on up here, Deaconess Linda. Deaconess Linda, I want to get this right now because the Lord showed me. Amen. You've come and you have something to exchange here. What is that? This is a $100 bill. Amen. Did you just make that, or is that something you got somewhere? No. You and Vic didn't make that this time. Okay. Good. Now this is a $100 bill, and you're giving that to me.
Yes.
Amen. Right here, and I'm going to give it back to you in 20s. Okay. And you'll understand this better later. Okay. Okay. Now, this is 20. This is 40. This is 60. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm short? Oh. Do you trust me? You gave me 100, and what did I give you? 60. I gave you 60, but you trust me. That wasn't very good. But you trust me because you know I'm up to something, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And if you'll stick around, I'll explain it to you in a little bit. You see how she doesn't want to go and she wants to talk to me? You see how she is with that? Amen. You all saw that? She's still talking. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. She's okay. We're going to talk about this in just a moment. You may have your seat and don't throw anything at me. I'm not done yet. I'll come back and I'll explain. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You trust me. So don't go far. She says, I ain't. She gave me 100 and I gave her back 320s. And she stood there. That's not all she did there. And she trusts me. She loves me, Pastor, and everything like that. But the problem is, how many would say there is a problem? Uh-huh. The problem is the lady is having a problem with the transaction, and that is because she has been shortchanged. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue this morning. That's part of the message. Shortchanged. Somebody say shortchanged. Yeah, you always feel shortchanged when you have invested more than you got back. And the problem with so many of us today is we're smiling and we're all dressed up and we're smelling good. Our clothes are straight, our shoes are on, our socks match, hopefully. But we're living with the feeling of being shortchanged. And when you invest more than you get back, when you sow more than you reap, when you've been better to people than they've been back to you, when you've been faithful to people who have been faithful, haven't been faithful to you, when you serve people that won't serve you, come on. When you've poured into children and they don't pour back into you. When you've been good to a son and a daughter and you don't see a good mom or dad. Whenever you put in $100 and you get back 60, I don't care how much you smile and how polite you are. And you walk away. And she walked away, did she not? And she was aware of the fact that the transaction has occurred. But I have been shortchanged. Amen. And it's not just relationships and interactions with other people. It is also feeling like other people got something you didn't get. Come on, somebody talk to me this morning. You've been shortchanged. And if you've had more support, you'd have went to school. And if you'd have had more support, you'd have got your degree. Or you hadn't had this happen or had that happen. And if the car wreck hadn't happened, if grandma hadn't died and mama was alive, and if daddy would have stayed with mama, I would have gone further, and I'm living with 60, and I should have got 100. Huh? I've been shortchanged. When you see other married couples and talking and laughing and happy, and you can't find anything to say, you feel shortchanged. when it looks like other people are having more life, or having more love, or having more sex, or having more money, and you're just dealing with the 60 when you expected 100. Somebody shout 100. You might smile and dance and shout, but in the back of your mind, you're living your life exactly like the woman who walked away just now, feeling like, you know, I love Pastor, but I've got good sense, and 320s don't make 100. You're shortchanged. You're 40 years old, and you're still single. You're 45 years old and you're divorced. Some of you like it. I'm sorry, I had to add that in there. I'm 50 and 60 and I got to do everything by myself. I got to get the pig, kill the pig, cook the pig, clean up after the pig. It was cute at first, but now I'm getting older. Come on. I'm doing everything by yourself. And I'm getting tired of this. And Jimmy, who wasn't cute, but he's looking better now. You've been shortchanged. See, when you look at all of it, all of us have some areas in our life of inequity. A poor return on a full investment. Areas where if we'd only got more support, got something to eat before we went to school in the morning, if we'd have done better, if Mama and Daddy hadn't been fighting all over the house, if Mama hadn't had all those strange uncles coming over and in and out, maybe I would have gone to college and done better. And you're dealing with what Deaconess is dealing with. You're dealing with what is left. I said you're dealing with what is left. She or he has walked away with what was left. Nowadays it's maybe he, she, but that's for my transgender friends that may be listening to the podcast. I may know God loves everybody. Hallelujah. This is an equal opportunity church. God doesn't love everything I do, but he loves me. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dealing with what was left, but it wasn't right. And when things are not right, how many know it's frustration? And when you have given more than you got back, you've been shortchanged. You'll let me quickly, I want to just mention three men in the Bible that I want to talk about just for a minute. And each one in his own way has been shortchanged, and you'll find it in 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 14. I'm not going to take time to read it. It's there. There's a story here that David has come into the palace, that by all rights shouldn't have been his. His predecessor is King Saul, and Saul had a son named Jonathan, and if anybody should have been a successor to Saul, it should have been Jonathan. But Jonathan and Saul are dead, and David becomes king of Israel. And now David is walking around his palace, and he's saying, is there anyone left of the house of Jonathan that I can bless? Jonathan was the son of the king, Saul, and was David's best friend, but Jonathan is dead. But David's love toward Jonathan is not. Because love doesn't die, and it doesn't bury with the grave, amen? So David says, is there any of Jonathan's kids left that are not destroyed, not dead? Is there anybody left at all? And they tell him, no, they're all gone except he did have a son named Mephibosheth. That's a mouthful. But Mephibosheth is in Lodibar. Even the name Lodibar. Lodibar. Somebody say, raise the bar. If you're in Lodibar, you need to move to raise the bar, yeah. But he's in Lodibar. And Lodibar means the place of no communication. It is the place of no pasture. Nothing grows green there. Not even communication. And Mephibosheth is down there and he's lame. Not in one foot, but in both feet. You know the story, many of you. And he would have been king, but somebody dropped him when he was little, when he was young. And he got shortchanged. Here's a person who was designated to be heir to the throne, and his grandfather Saul's kingdom and is sitting in a place that won't even grow grass. You ever been in a place where won't even grow grass? Somebody said, anytime you get up in the morning, you can see grass from the top. It's a good day. Lodibar. Down there in Lodibar, where there's no communication, no real communication. You know what I mean. We talk, but we don't talk. And the funny thing about being shortchanged is that sooner or later, shortchanged will shut up. Sooner or later, you'll stop complaining about it. Sooner or later, you'll stop crying about it. Sooner or later, shortchanged will always end up in Lodibar, because Lodibar is the place of no communication. And it is the silent frustration that eats at the fiber of your soul. It's not what you fuss about that's eating at you. It's what you've given up fussing about. It's what you endure in silence. And nobody talks about it because you've given up on the expectation of any kind of retribution, any kind of reciprocity. Amen. Any kind. And you're in Lodibar when you stop talking about what you lost in the transaction. And you decide, I've got to make the best of a bad situation. Amen. And so what we're looking at in 2 Samuel 9 is a culture of being cut short. Look around your life if you've been shortchanged and check out your environment. And I'll bet you that not only one in your story that was shortchanged, you're not the only one that was shortchanged in your story. If you were a shortchanged daughter, I'll bet somewhere there is a shortchanged mama. If you're a shortchanged son and you know and can find your daddy, he was shortchanged too. Huh? And so Lodibar epitomizes a culture and an environment of cut short. And you see, Deaconess was cut short. She was shortchanged, but she survived. Barely. I would say I barely survived. If you weren't here, I think something bad would have happened to me. She was shortchanged, but she made it back to her seat. She was shortchanged, but she learned how to deal with it. She's still dealing with it. She was shortchanged, but she carried her own cross. But somewhere in the back of her mind, no matter how much I preach and teach, is you owe me. I love you, Pastor, but you owe me. I love you, honey, but you owe me. Talking about your spouse, honey. Or whoever your honey is, mama, daddy, whatever it is. Or your boss. Or whoever. And I don't care how strong we are and how well we learn how to rise above it, somewhere in the back of your mind is, you owe me. And they do. Come on. Is there anybody in here that would say, I made it, but I've been shortchanged? Come on. I made it, but I've been shortchanged. Touch somebody and tell them I made it, but I've been shortchanged. Tell somebody I survived, but I've been shortchanged. Yeah, I survived, but I've been shortchanged. I thought I'd make it with the wife and or with that husband. I thought my kids would help me, and I thought he would pay the bills, but the Lord told me to tell you something. The Lord says he has you on his mind. Ooh. Well, I felt that. My sanctified soul. And the Lord says that he has not forgotten what you didn't get. That's for somebody. And the Lord says you're going to come into a season of restoration. Remember, the temple is being rebuilt. Woo. And the Lord says, I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar and all them locusts ate up. And God said, I'm going to give you a double. I'm going to finish what I started. He that hath begun a good work in you, amen, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We'll perform it. Not your performance, his performance. Yeah, shout to that headstone, grace, grace. Shout it again, grace, grace, double grace. Somebody really ought to stop right here and give God a shortchange praise. Come on, give him a shortchange praise. Woo! Hallelujah! Favor. Jubilee. I told you this year is a year of jubilee. Double jubilee. And if you've been through what I've been through, and God knows you've been through it. I said God knows you've been through it. We have no idea what the one sitting next to us has been through. They come in here and smile. They look all, smell all good and everything, but you have no idea what they've been through. My God. But if you've been through what I've been through, you'd give God a praise. Yeah. You give God a praise. Tell somebody next to you, we got to get out of Lodabar. Tell them, we got to get out of Lodabar. We got to get out of Lodabar. If you're in Lodabar, you got to get out of it. Amen. You got to open your mouth. You got to start saying something. You got to start doing something. You can't stay in Lodabar. My God, enough is enough. One of the reasons God has blessed me so much on the back end is because how I suffered on the front end. Gah. When he said he saved the best till last, he meant what he said. When he said your latter shall be greater than your former, he didn't lie. So whatever you've been through, that ain't all there is. Amen. God said to tell my children, I'll make it up to you. You didn't get that. God said to tell his children, I'll make it up to you. Whatever you didn't get. Where's your pocketbook? Get your suitcase. Get your hat and coat. We're coming out of Lodabar. If we have to crawl out, we're coming out. If we have to be drug out, we're coming out. If we have to be carried out, we're coming out of Lodabar. I said, you're coming out of Lodabar. Woo! God, I feel that. So watch this. God put Mephibosheth on David's mind, and God said, he's going to put you on somebody else's mind. God put Mephibosheth on David's mind. Let me say it again. And God says to tell you, he's going to put you on somebody else's mind. Woo! For your rebuilding, for your restoration, for what you didn't get, for what you suffered. Oh, man! Man, am I happy for you. Hallelujah. I mean, no, I do believe this. If God said it, just put a little faith with it. He's going to put you on somebody nine who's in a position to restore what you lost. And so David told Ziba, that was servant, he said, go down there and get Mephibosheth. And the one taking care of Mephibosheth was working at a deficit. But when Ziba came down to get Mephibosheth, he was able to relieve his caretaker of his responsibility. And God says that somebody that's been taking care of yourself and somebody else, the Lord says it's almost over now. And he's about to lift the burden. Hallelujah. He carried his burden and he carried Mephibosheth too. But it's going to turn around today. And he did turn the whole thing around. If you got real faith, tell your neighbor it's going to turn around today. You know why? Because the word of the Lord has just gone forth. And if it's the word of the Lord, it's got to turn around. Amen. And so when God got ready to turn it around, God sent Ziba, and all of a sudden, but wait a minute, I've got some unfinished business. You gave me 100 and I gave you 60. And I understand, if I understand my math correctly, that means I owe you 40. That means there ought to be two more 20s. Yes. That was a great yes. I sense fear in you that you're not going to get those 20s. You're praying. But the Lord says, not only are you going to get those 20s, he says, because, I want to get this right, because of how you waited, because of how you suffered, because of how you held your peace, and because you didn't say nothing, and because you praised God anyway. Oh, my God, I've heard you praise God. And because you've given and given, God says it shall be given to you. Shaken together, running over. I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And he says, it's all coming your way right there. God. Double for your trouble, sister. She's showing her money off. It had a baby. Yeah. Had a $100 baby. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you clapped your hands anyway. Because you brought that money up here. Somebody give God a praise. God said, I'm going to pour you out a blessing, deaconess, that you won't have room enough to receive it because you have given and given. And he said, I'm pressing it down. Amen. Hallelujah. You know she ain't talking what she was talking before. It's a good thing God impressed me to do that. This may have been the last message you ever heard. Amen. First one back and the last one. Amen. Well, watch this. When he came to get Mephibosheth out, the problem was Mephibosheth's time of deliverance had come. Didn't I tell you June was a month of deliverance? I did tell you that, did I not? Because God told me that. Look at somebody next to you and say, this is your month of deliverance. What you're going through right now, what decisions you're making, it's all part of your deliverance. Good or bad, you may see it look as bad, but it's going to be good. God's going to turn out good. He takes bad and makes it good. Oh, he did it. Joseph, don't forget Joseph. You've been in the prison long enough. It's time for the palace. Time for you to be released. They said the word of the Lord came to him and they took his feet out of the stocks. Took him from the prison to the palace. His time had come. Your time has come. God is leading you now. God is working through all that's going on. But don't be afraid. The end of it is restoration. Woo! My God. Well, the problem was his time of deliverance had come, but it couldn't walk. I mean, no, our time of deliverance has come, but we may have some issues. We may find it hard walking out. Because we can be lame not only in feet, we can be lame in spirit. And that's not derogatory. That just says you have suffered many things. You've been dropped. Kodoboshata. I said you've been dropped. Wherever it was along the line. And so you got some lameness. You're having problem walking. It's not that you don't want to walk. It's not that you don't want to do that. Maybe it's that too, but that's from being dropped too. You don't want to is also from something else that didn't want to. Woo. I'm sure glad is a God of understanding. I'm sure glad he's not like me. Don't say amen too loud. But I'm sure glad he's not like some folk I know. They don't have any understanding. They'll judge you in a heartbeat. They'll condemn you to hell and help send you there. Come on. And tell you they're not going there. Okay, I better leave that alone. And so the Bible says that Ziba carried Mephibosheth out, and the Lord said, he's going to get you out if he's got to use somebody else's strength, if he's got to use somebody else's power to draw you out of your circumstance and out of your situation. And when God gets ready to bring him out, he carries Mephibosheth out of Lodibar and brings him into the palace of the king. Glory to God. Can you imagine how Mephibosheth must have felt to finally get in the palace that should have been his in the first place? Uh-huh. My God. And so the Lord, carrying him out of Lodibar, brings him into the palace. And I tell you, when I felt that, when I looked at that, to finally get in the place should have been his, but because of a detour, I may have had some detours, and because of a shortchanged, it was a long time coming. Whew. Tell somebody, it's been a long time coming. But let me encourage you, he finally got there. How many know it's been a long time coming, but you will finally get there? I'm telling you by the authority of God's Spirit on me right now, it's been a long time, baby, but you are going to get there. Okay, how many devils are blocking your way, how many obstacles are going on, how stubborn they are, how rebellious they are, how unloving they are. I'm telling you, you're going to get there. Woo! Yeah. He finally got there. And I'm telling you again, I'm telling somebody, it may be a long time coming, but if you'll hold out, you're going to get there. High five your neighbor and say, I'm almost there. Come on, somebody got to say it by faith. Somebody got to say it by faith. Because it's been so long coming, you have some doubts it'll ever come. But if God said it, you can take that to the bank, baby. Hallelujah. Yeah. And how many know every time, the longer that it takes, how many know the more interest that occurs? The longer the devil holds it back, the longer the devil tries to stop you and works against you, the longer he does his work, the greater the blessing, like a rubber band At that moment, he was in Lodabar one day and he was in the palace the next. No, matter of fact, he was in the palace the same day. It don't take God long to work. I said, it don't take God long to work. Because he's already talking to people. He's already set things up for you. He already knew about this. He knew you, we that have been in Lodabar. He already knew about that. And he already knew what he had planned for us. Woo! Glory to God. Let me get happy with it. And so he brings him in the palace. Finally got there. The Lord says, even when we were in Lodabar, I had all this waiting for you. He says, it's time for you to sit in your blessing. It's time for you to rock in it, shout in it, dance in it, live in it. And don't let anybody make you feel bad about it. Don't let your haters hate you out of it. And don't let the gossipers talk you out of it. And don't let the liars lie you out of it. Nobody knows what you've been through. So to God be the glory. If you got one more shout, shout, it's my time now. It's my time now. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, I know you've been waiting on it. I know the devil told you it wasn't ever going to happen. I know the devil said you were too messed up. You know that's the way he talks. Huh? He says you're too broken. You're too lame. You're too late. But the devil is a liar. Woo! Hallelujah. And I tell you, God's going to carry you out. And you ought to praise him like you just got out. Come on, let's stand together. Ah, come on, praise him like you just got out. Woo! My God, my God, let's praise him. Let's praise him like we just got out. Hallelujah! Woo! Jesus. Glory to God. Now, glory. Woo, boy. As you're on your feet, I want to bless you before you leave. God said we can bless one another. So lift up your hands one more time. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord bless you more than you've ever thought you could be blessed. May the Lord keep you in ways that you have felt unkept, not kept, thrown away. God, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Where there's been darkness, where there have been clouds, bright clouds are coming over your life right now, over the church's life, over this nation's life. God is moving. God is rebuilding the temple. He's rebuilding your temple. You are in a rebuilding, a beautiful process. And he says, grace says, how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is, Lord, what you're doing. In that life, I thank you for it. And then you said, just to confess grace, God bless it. Lord, I thank you for making your face to shine upon them. Shine in any darkness. Illuminate it. Make it so brilliant, so bright. May the light, Father, dispel every bit of darkness, every bit of doom, every bit of suffering. Bring your blessing. When your face shines on them, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon you in ways you have never known. The Lord be gracious to you. Oh, like you have never known. As you shout grace to those headstones. In Jesus' name. And the Lord give you peace. The Lord give you shalom. In that shalom is every good thing. They will give you real peace. True peace. Peace of heart and peace of mind. Peace in the midst of the storm. Lord, I bless your people. They are blessed. You, they are your people. Thank you for this opportunity to sit under your word. Father, may this be the best Father's Day they've ever had. Comfort those who don't have fathers. Comfort those, Father, in whatever ways they need to be comforted. Those who have lost their fathers. Those who never had fathers. You will be a father to the fatherless. And a mother to the motherless. I want to thank you for what you're doing this day. It's a day of rebuilding, a day of restoration. We stand amazed in the presence of the Galilee. And we stand in the midst of all of what you're doing. And we thank you we're a part of it. That you saw us. You were thinking about me, thinking about that one today that is here, and that one who couldn't be here today. You're reaching to them through this word. And Lord, we pray you will touch all on the podcast who may hear this word. God bless them, and God keep them and restore them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. I love you. God be with you. Brother, hallelujah. If you would like prayer for anything, stay up here, Dr. Culverson. If you came and you would like prayer, or you came just because you need to come and the Lord told you you need to come and be prayed for, we would like to do that right now. Otherwise, have a wonderful day, and the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you for coming. I love you. God love you. Again, a blessed Father. If you'd like prayer, please come. Amen. Otherwise, bless one another and pray one for another. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.